welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning we have to share around this precious book called the Bible, the Word of God. There's nothing that changes about it. It's strong, steady, never ever needs correction, never been a recall on the Word of God. Amen. So we thank you and praise you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We just say thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing this day. Bless the preacher as he ministers the Word of God. Let the hearer have ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in the Message Bible, it says this about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 17. It goes like this. There's nothing like the written word of God. There's nothing. Say, there's nothing like the written word of God. The written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? You and I are who we are because our faith in a man named Jesus Christ. Every part of Scripture, say every part. That means there's not one word in this book that hasn't been, shall I say, anointed by God to be spoken to you and I today.
Amen.
There's nothing old about this book.
Amen.
The cover may look a little worn, but that's a good thing, amen?
Amen?
There's nothing about this book that is old, it's as real and as good today as it's ever been before.
Amen.
Now, my wife said something interesting. We're married 50 years and in ministry over 50 years, and we could both stand before you today and say this thing works.
Amen.
I cannot say that about anything else. This thing works. If you have a favorite sports team, sometimes they'll win two or three, maybe in two or three years. But there's always somebody else looking to hold the trophy. Amen. My trophy is the Word of God, and there's no contention for it year after year because it's always going to be the same. You and I are victors through a man named Jesus Christ. Amen. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed, useful one way or another. See, when the Bible says all things work together for good to them that
love the Lord.
There you go. How many of you love the Lord?
Yes.
This book always works for showing us the truth. See, if we know the truth, it will expose those things in our life that aren't what should be, that we need to get rid of them. How many of you know that's true?
Yes.
Correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. The Word instructs us to live God's way. There must be another way to live. And right away what comes up in my spirit is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Who said that?
Jesus.
How many of you know you can trust Jesus?
Amen.
He's not a man that he should lie. Has he not said, will he not do? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus says that, what should we do? Seek first the kingdom of God. And Romans says, where is the kingdom of God? It's on the inside of us and within us. Seek first the kingdom of God, here's the Amplified, and his way of doing and being right. So every time I read that, I say to myself this, if his way is doing and being right, there must be another way of doing and being wrong. See, that's when my flesh gets involved. As soon as we take what God says to us and try to understand it, we lose it. People lose the promises of God because they try to understand it. God will give us illogical instructions. Give me something in the Word that is illogical to the mind. Give me something. Go down and catch a fish. And what was in the fish's mouth? Is that what Jesus said? When you and I follow illogical instructions because it's what God's Word said, we will get God's results. Otherwise, we'll get man's results.
Amen.
Give me another illogical instruction in the Word.
Getting out of a boat.
Oh, he told them to throw the nets to the other side? Okay. And do you think fish only swim in one side of a boat? Always remember this. I think it was Lafayette Scales when he was here said this. Creation has no problem being obedient to God. When they threw it to the other side, what happened? They caught a haul, they almost sunk. The other illustration of the fish is what? He said, go out and fish. Well, they said, now wait a minute, Jesus, this is the wrong time of the day. I mean, if we go out now, we'll not catch anything. But hang on now. Here's the answer. But nevertheless, at your word. See, that's how we need to walk around in our life. Nevertheless, at your word. Every time I come to a situation in my life and I have a hard time with it, I say, nevertheless, at your word. Amen? Give me another example of illogical instructions in the word.
Stepping out of a boat.
There you go. And what did Peter do? He stepped out on the word. Remember that? He didn't step out on the water. He stepped out on the word. But what happened to Peter, it also happens to us. I'm going to believe God for my healing. I'm going to believe God for my marriage. I'm going to believe God for my job. We sit that out there and we're believing God. And then what happens to us? What happened to Peter? What happened? He started looking around. See, when Jesus is our focus point, we don't have to look around for something else. Now, if I've got something that's good, why do I want to look for something else? But you see, what happens is humanity is always looking for something else. Peter, if he had kept his eyes on Jesus, what would have happened? But as soon as he looked around, what did he see? The waves, wind, and he began to do what? See, that's what happens sometimes to us. We're standing on the word of God, and all of a sudden a storm comes up. We're looking at Jesus, and suddenly we begin to sink because we're trying to figure it out instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I don't know why so many believers have all the fear they have, because they're not reading the word and they're not standing on the word. What they're doing is standing on what they're listening to. Give me another one. Speak to the rock. Who spoke to the rock? How many people was Moses leading?
3 million.
Over 3 million. How about the livestock? And the rabble? There was enough water that came out of that rock to take care of 3 million people plus livestock and the rabble. Next time he comes to the rock, another rock, what does Jesus ask him to do? Speak to the rock. Say, speak to the rock.
Speak to the rock.
Then what happened with Moses? He began to think and try to figure out why it was that God was asking him to speak when it was so difficult to hit it. And what happened? Trouble came into his life. Am I right? How many times has God told us to step out by faith and do something, and we didn't do it because we didn't understand it? Give me one more. The ark. Did that make any sense? Can you imagine? He's building an ark in his backyard. There's no water. There was a canopy over the earth. And guess what happened? No new people got into the ark except his family. And then one day, what happened? It opened up on the bottom and it opened up on the top, and a flood came. He says, build an ark. Understand something. If you look at the scripture, he was a farmer. See, why does God get a farmer to build an ark? Why didn't he get a carpenter to build the ark? But God gives illogical instructions, and he's waiting for us to respond. Every single day, God's waiting for the opportunity to come into your life and my life. The Bible is God's absolute authority.
Amen.
Now, I was driving by Mark 4 just the other day, and as I was driving by, the Lord said to me this, Mark 4 is all about the word. It's not only about the condition of a person's heart, the whole chapter is about the word. And we also know that the enemy wants to come and do what? Steal the word when it has a place that it really can't grow. See, when the Bible talks about Jesus disarmed him and took his power. See, Satan has power, but he has no authority. See, the believer has the authority. But if the believer doesn't know the word, we'll talk more about the devil than we will about Jesus. Amen? He's in jail and he can't get out, but he has the ability to do what? Attack you and I and try to get us to believe a lie. Once a lie sinks in, that lie becomes the truth. Guess what? Truth will expose a lie.
Amen.
Don't laugh, but there's a true story a farmer told me years ago. He said somebody had stolen some of his sheep, and when he finally found them and they were all tied up, he laid them on the ground, untied the sheep, and the sheep wouldn't move. And then he realized something. He said, these sheep still think they're tied up. So you had to give them a smack, and they got up and started running. You and I are not tied up. Jesus set us free. You understand that now? The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood. There's lots of places where I can get upset. How about you in this world today? But our fight is not against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers. They have power, but their authority when it comes to me doesn't exist. So how do you get authority? Listen, I heard Bill Winston say this the other day. I stopped in my tracks. I put that back on again. He said our words give license to either the devil or to God.
Yes.
The Bible says he looks over his word to perform it. If we say something contrary to the word out of our mouth, demon spirits are ready to jump in and take those words and work against us. But if we're only speaking the word out of our mouth, there's no way he can come near your door and cause any problems in your life. I listen sometimes to people's conversations, including my own. And sometimes I have to reverse and say, wait a minute, that's not the word, and correct it. Because the enemy said, there's our opportunity to go after the preacher. Let's take a peek at these. This is the absolutes of God's word.
Amen.
You're so sure of something that you know it'll never change. That's an absolute.
Amen.
The world says there are no more absolutes. It's a bold-faced lie. The word of God, truth, leaves us without any doubt. A lie will bring doubt. The absolute of God's word cancels that out. Without limits. A lie is limited. God's word is never limited. It's something that is true at all times and in all places. I want this on my team. It's something that always is true, no matter what the circumstances. The problem is, so many times you and I as believers get under the circumstances, but the word doesn't say we should.
Right.
It says we should just speak and say what the word of God says, and then we'll stand on top of that mountain, and before you know it, we'll see it removed. Here's another one. It's a fact that cannot be changed. There are absolutes. It's right here in the Word of God. Say it's in the Word of God. The Bible tells me that without faith, I can't please God. So that tells me I want to find out how to get faith. What does Romans say? Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
Word.
Now you're hearing me, am I right? I'm building your faith. But if I'm not there and some other preacher's not there, what do? You and I have to dig in, amen, and start saying the Word out of our mouth. Listen, it's a fact that can't be changed. It's free from imperfections. Free from imperfections. It's complete. See, when Jesus said it was finished on Calvary, that said it's complete, over and done with. It's interesting that when he said those words out of his mouth, the veil of the temple split from top to bottom, which says nobody did this. This was an act of God that opened, listen, the outer court and the inner court could go into the Holy of Holies. But see, today there are still many people, believers, that are still in the outer court because the word of God is not an absolute in their lives. I want to get into Holy of Holies. I want to be where God's saying and doing something, and I can see supernatural results in my life. Here's another one. It's perfect. The word perfect really means mature. How many of us are mature in God? Just going to church doesn't make you a believer. It's when you get into the Word of God, get the truth of God's Word on the inside of you, and then it begins to come out of your mouth. It's absolute liberty.
Amen.
The last thing I have on here is this. A kingdom has a king. We have a king living on the inside of us. Amen.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive.
Jesus.